So this week, the beginning of the week, I just had John 14 yet again on my mind, in my heart, probably because I was wanting to be troubled. And so I was reminded again of let not your heart be troubled. And I'm troubled by what that means. And because we live in troubling times. So how do we let not our heart be troubled in the midst of troubling times? And what in the world does Jesus mean, which we'll get to in a minute, if only some verses before he himself was troubled? I'm like, wait, Jesus, you were troubled. Why can't I be troubled? And he's like, that's different. And so you have to enter in this wrestle with the Lord and be like, you were troubled. You seem like you're contradicting yourself a few verses later when you say, don't be troubled, guys. And I don't pretend to have the answers, but we're going to jump in. that's where I've been all week and going, because it's a command. It's an instruction by the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. And he requires us to respond. I was pondering what the Lord was speaking to our community from 2020 to the spring, the summer of 2023. And I encourage you to go back and listen, because I believe the Lord was shouting the necessary manna for us to respond in the hour we find ourselves in now. I mean, shouting from spending almost two solid years on John 14, 15, and 16, from spending several months on the Laodicean spirit, spending a season on, you know, Tracy Slyker's dreams of worms in the mouth and our speech. And that was in the Laodicean spirit. The Lord was flashing red lights and saying this, and also giving the answer at the same time. He was saying, wake up, but here's the answer. And don't forget what he was telling us. And so most of this message is actually from August 20th, 2021. So I'm going to give you, just re-say seven reasons why the apostles had to be troubled, and then eight truths that Jesus gives them. I didn't make these up, but I'm going to re-say what was said to us, because I think it's of paramount importance to not forget. I was listening last night to the Laodicean message where Mike says the Lord is not going to leave us in a lukewarm condition, paraphrasing now. The Lord is going to deliver us from the Laodicean spirit. And that is going to look different than we thought. And it looks a lot like pressure applied, which is where we began our conversation back in April, 2 Corinthians 4. Hard-pressed, struck down, and the leadership of the Lord to press so that his fragrance and his likeness can come forth in our midst. So let's look at John 14. Jesus' command not to let trouble dominate our heart. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. If I'm honest, I'm like, really? Where's that? And the Lord's like, stay with it. Let not your heart be troubled, he says again in verse 27. Neither let it be afraid. A. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus commanded the disciples to not allow trouble to dominate their heart. I believe the troubled heart Jesus is referring to is the one that leads to unbelief, jadedness, disillusionment, and bitterness. So I believe that's one of the distinctions between how he was troubled and what he was alerting the disciples to not go down, a troubled heart that leads to unbelief. He's not saying pretend you don't have trouble. He's not saying you'll never have emotional pressure. He's not saying you'll never experience anxiety. He's not saying you'll never experience fear. I believe he's saying don't let the fact that you will experience those things lead you down a road of unbelief. Why do I say that? Because the next phrase after he says, let not your heart be troubled, is about what? Belief. You believe in him, believe in me. So the antidote, the answer, one of them, to this troubled heart that leads to disillusionment is actually faith. Don't let your heart go down the course of trouble, and don't let trouble dictate you in the midst of you experiencing trouble. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, see that you are not troubled. Who remembers when we talked briefly about Matthew 24? I highlighted a phrase, see that I have told you beforehand. See to it. So he says, see to it, two different times in Matthew 24. One of them is, see, I have told you beforehand. And one of them is, see to it that you are not troubled. In light of what? In light of what I just told you. B. Now, included in his command is the promise of his enabling to walk out his commands. What kind of shepherd would give a command, require us to do that command, but then not give us the help and the means to do it? So intrinsic, interwoven in his instruction to let not our heart be troubled is the confidence that when we cooperate with him and set our hearts to let it not be troubled, he will help us do it. And we can actually step into this peace. Again, this peace is not always permanent because it will ebb and flow. We'll have a moment and then the next day. And what do we have to do again? Let not our heart be troubled. Again, this is not a let not your heart be troubled and you prayed the prayer and then for the next 6 months, 6 years, there's no more pressure. It's every day. It's every day. And then as we do it every day, that peace begins to prevail more and more and more. See, John 17:27, Jesus says, now my soul is troubled. Again, this is just the chapter before. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. How can Jesus have a heart that is troubled and at the same time command us to not let our hearts be troubled? Jesus' response to his trouble is key to our understanding. Jesus says, what shall I say? Basically, how should I respond to my trouble? And I believe he gives two potential responses. I could pray, deliver me from this hour. And then what does he say about that? He's like, that don't make no sense. This is why I'm here, for this hour. That's not my response. But then he gives his response. And what is his response? Father, glorify your name. So Jesus' trouble did not lead him to unbelief. It actually thrust him into yielding to the perfect leadership of the Father. Verse 21, he was troubled in spirit and testified, "One of you will betray me." This speaks of his profound affection for Judas. Jesus was troubled by the betrayal he endured. However, he was not troubled unto unbelief. He was not troubled unto disillusionment. He was troubled, and that led to a response of glorify your son. He was troubled, and that led to a response of not my will, but your will be done. D. Negative emotions are part of our human earthen vessel experience. What we do with those emotions is our response of faith or our response of unbelief. Our response to these emotions leads to life or death. If you have your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 4, which we spent 4 weeks on in April. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 8 says, we are hard-pressed, we are perplexed, we are persecuted, and we are struck down. That's a fact. That is actually part of the Christian walk. But that's not the full story of the Christian walk. The response to those four things is, but we are not in despair. We are not forsaken, for we have not been destroyed. And it is, we have the death of Jesus in us so that what? The life of Jesus can be manifest in us. When Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled, he's not saying, just pretend that you are never, ever hard-pressed. Just block it out. He's not saying be an ostrich in the sand. He's not saying be disconnected from your emotions. He's not saying be disconnected from reality. But he's saying don't let that pressure thrust you into unbelief. Because 2 Corinthians 4, one of the main themes at the end of the day is faith. If you read 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of, anybody looking at it? Faith. So what does it take to respond to 2 Corinthians 4? These principles. Faith. According to what it is written, I, what does it say? Believed. Therefore, I spoke. We also believe. And therefore speak, and we know. And then down in chapter 5, verse 7, same flow of thought. Part of the conclusion of the matter is, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So I believe Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. And one of the ways your heart is troubled that leads to disillusionment is you begin to walk by sight, not by faith. And if you walk by sight and not by faith, you will end up out of faith. E, let not. Jesus instructs us to let not. I actually like these words, because to me that's more of the emphasis than even maybe the trouble. Don't let it. In other words, don't let it happen. We have our part to play in not having a troubled heart. This does not mean we are never troubled, but rather trouble is not what directs our minds and emotions. Intrinsic in the instruction given is the idea that without a purposeful resisting, we will let trouble take us. What I mean by that is, if you try to go neutral, what happens? You have let the trouble dictate. So trouble is like this torrent, river, that's pushing you a direction, and life thrust you into that river. And if you just want to time out, where do you go? But if you want to embrace that sound mind, which we've talked about, you put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, and you begin to swim against this current. And Jesus is saying, don't let the current of trouble take you. Let it press you so that my life can be manifest in you. F. Let not your heart be troubled is to... To let your heart be troubled is to let your heart be swept away by the present trials. When you let your heart be troubled, you allow the trouble to dictate. The trouble dictates your thinking, your decisions, your faith, your experience, your perceived reality. When you let the trials dictate, we are like that double-minded man spoken of in the book of James. So James 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You're experiencing trouble. Basically, when you're in trials, good things can be produced when you respond appropriately. And then he says, if you don't see life this way, if you lack this perspective, if you lack this wisdom, ask of God, and he will actually give it to you generously. But don't ask without faith. If you ask without faith, you'll be like that double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And why is he double-minded? Because his emotional stability, his life direction, his life course is dictated not by the will of God, but by the storm he's in. So a storm can take him this way, and a storm can take him this way. Don't let the trouble take you this way and that way. Turn the page. Jesus' prophetic teaching 2 days earlier is part of the context of John 13 through 17a. On Tuesday, 2 days before the Last Supper, Jesus prophesied concerning military conflict, racial conflict, pestilence, earthquakes, betrayal, and martyrdom in Matthew 24. Jesus called them to not be troubled. So again, if you know Matthew 24 at all, familiar with it at all, that was a message he gave on Tuesday. And then 2 days later, he's given Matthew or John 13 through 17. If Jesus drops a bomb on Tuesday called Matthew 24, they're going to deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations, pestilence. What do you think they're talking about for 2 days? What in the world is he talking about? I thought we were taking over the world. Because they did. They are troubled. Now, I didn't know if I signed up for this. And so he begins in Matthew 14, or John 14, and all of that, I believe, is brought to the table when he says, don't let your heart be troubled. B, John 14:1 is essential to obey in a consistent way Because when our hearts are weighed down with grief, despair, fear, and shame, we are more vulnerable to darkness. His peace guards our heart. A troubled heart is a seedbed of the very confusion and deception about which Jesus warns us in Matthew 24. Just ever so briefly, we're going to go rather quickly. Seven reasons why the apostles were troubled. Now, these seven reasons come from John 13 through 17 and what he taught on in Matthew 24, 2 days earlier. So it's that week and some events that would follow. A, just moments before Jesus exhorted them to not let their hearts be troubled, he spoke of leaving the disciples by death, Judas's betrayal, and Peter denying him. 2 days prior, he prophesied that personal and social troubles would come. He just said, I'm going to go where you can't go, and I'm going to die. One of you's going to totally betray me, and you're going to fall short. Don't be troubled. Now, before we go through these seven troubles, my desire for my own life and my family's life is that we are as familiar with these eight important truths as we are with these seven temptations for trouble. So as we briefly go through them, ask yourself, am I more familiar? Do I live in these seven trials or do I live in these eight truths? Trouble one. Death of their beloved leader and friend. The thought of Jesus dying brought grief to them and was very traumatic and confusing to them. Jesus referred to his death 18 times in the upper room discourse. John 13, 36, Jesus answered Peter, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Where I am going, you will not follow me." They were about to experience his death, but then also for now, like death that we experience and endure right now can be troubling. Trouble two, personal failure. Peter denied Jesus, and the others stumbled. They all stumbled. They went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Before the rooster crows, Peter will deny me three times." Troubled. If we're troubled by our inability to follow through to the magnitude we thought we could, our strength and our boast and our strength was in the wrong place. And just maybe we actually need the season of coming up short so that we have a greater revelation and understanding that we actually need to limp and lean. Trouble three. The bitterness of betrayal. Their close-knit team was hurt by Judas' betrayal of Jesus and of them. Judas betrayed all of them. They would also be betrayed by loved ones. John 13, 21. He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "One of you will betray me." Luke 21, 16, which is the parallel to Matthew 24, "You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives, and friends." And again, what's the overall, the banner of instruction? See that you are not troubled. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. See that you are not troubled. Number four, crisis in culture. We have an immediate and impending crisis in our culture right now. See that you are not troubled. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise against nation. There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Trouble 5, persecution. Some were killed, beaten, or imprisoned. See that you are not troubled. Trouble 6, national destruction. This is huge. This was coming a few years down the road. Again, they were going, we're about to take over the world. We're going to sit on thrones, rule with you, reign with you. You're the Messiah, the anointed one. And he's like, yes, but got some steps between now and then to get you equipped and ready. Because you're not quite ready to do that. Because you kind of want it too badly. So Matthew 24. And then trouble 7, the delay of God's promises. There was a delay in the release of the fullness of God's prophetic promises to them in the nation of Israel. He was talking about leaving them physically without defeating Rome, who was oppressing them, or setting the apostles on thrones. They're quite confused. Ultimately, the Lord sees to it that they respond in agreement. 11 out of the 12. 4, Jesus commanded them, this is the answer, to believe in him. Faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. 8 important truths. The command to not allow trouble to dominate our heart is obeyed by determining to believe Jesus. By agreeing with his promises, trusting his leadership, and engaging with his heart. Let's look at these 8 truths that are the fuel to keep our hearts from being troubled unto unbelief. Truth number 1, belief in the truth about Jesus, his person, promises, and leadership. This is not a reference to initial faith we exercise to become born again. The disciples were already saved. Jesus declared that they were already clean or forgiven. So this is not a gospel appeal. The cure for troubled heart is Jesus. This is about the fullness of faith, full response to Jesus' leadership. The answer he gives our troubled hearts is himself. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Part of that is included is, you know how you have faith in the Father that you cannot see? He's telling them, you're going to have faith in me at that same level. Blessed are you when you believe and you cannot see. Because I'm about to leave. Y'all still aren't getting it. I'm about to leave. Truth number 2. Jesus promised to return to be with us in the Father's house forever. The Father's house speaks of the New Jerusalem. This promise gives us an eternal view. Jesus promised to return to be with us in the Father's house forever. Eternity. What else is in 2 Corinthians 4? For this momentary light affliction is but a passing moment for the glory that's to be received and revealed. Truth number 3, we can engage in a deep relationship with God in this age. In the midst of the pressure, we can have a profound relationship. And he wants us to. We are called to participate in the family dynamics of the Trinity as Jesus described in John 14:7 through 27. Jesus described how he related to the Father as a man and how his disciples are to relate to him and the Father in a similar way by the Spirit. So we're to take John 14:15 and 16:17 and see how Jesus interacts with the Father and the Spirit in pursue to do the same. Truth number four, he supernaturally empowers us by the indwelling Spirit. What else is in 2 Corinthians 4? This treasure in this earthen vessel. He will give you another helper. He dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Truth number five, God's love for God and his people. The ultimate reality and the source of beauty. God's love for God is our grand security. My confession is God loves me and I love God, therefore I am successful. He emphasized his love seven times in 13 through 17, John 13 through 17. As the Father loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. As the Father loved me, to the measure, to the degree, to the quality that the Father loves the second person of the Trinity, Jesus says what? I have loved you. So question is, who loves who more? Jesus says, to the measure the Father loves me, that's how I love you. And then in John 17, that the world may know that you have loved them as you have loved me. So Jesus loves us. We've heard this before many times. Jesus loves us to the same degree, measure, quality that the Father loves the Son. And then the Father loves us to the same degree, measure, and quality, intensity, that he loves Jesus. So the question is, does the Father love Jesus more or you more? And it's yes, the same, the very same love. So we can have confidence. Truth six, access to supernatural resources through Spirit-led prayer as God supplies our need. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. In our youth Bible study, we were talking about James, finishing up James, and the effective fervent prayer avails much. And then how they pointed to Elijah and how he asked and the rain came. And this is what is available for those in Christ. It's not just available. I believe in the days ahead, it's necessary that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, what happens? The bread. So in James, it points to Elijah and then also the Elisha story where he visits the widow, right? And the widow has the son. It's not doing well. And she says, yep, I'm going to go home, make my last meal, we're going to die. And Elisha says, well, first, make me a cake out of your last bit of food. And she steps into, I believe, a faith response. And then she goes and starts getting the stuff out of the pot. And what happens? It keeps coming. And it keeps coming. And her son is strengthened. She does not die that day, but she has daily bread provision. And we are instructed the daily bread is both spiritual, and I believe in the days ahead, it's actually physical as well, because that's the testimony of the Word of God. And if Jesus is saying in Matthew 24, you're going to have famines, see that you're not troubled, walk in faith, the Bible is riddled with stories of what? Supernatural provision. Truth number seven, how Jesus responds to the apostles when they stumble. What's one of the seven troubling things? The fact that we do stumble, but what is the truth that we need to lean into? How he responds to those that stumble, how he responds when I stumble. On the night that Peter and all the others stumbled, he spoke of loving them. He's aware of all that they're about to do and not do, and he speaks of, as the Father loved me, I've loved you. He called them friends in 15:15 and spoke words of life over them. And he assured Peter that he would recover and be used by God. Truth 8, the joy of eternal rewards related to being faithful to Jesus and enduring persecution. Again, for our light affliction is working for us. We live in light of eternity, which actually does not get rid of the necessity of this life. It actually makes it all that more important to give the Lord the response he wants in the midst of our trouble. In this life, you have trouble. That's what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. And there's no contradiction. Jesus does not contradict himself. In this life, you have trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. Again, I believe that's talking about don't let the fact that in this life you have trouble now dictate the course of your life. Don't get let it sweep you into this disillusionment, questioning. Instead, walk by faith and not by sight. When we let our hearts be troubled, when we just let it, it's kind of unpleasant. It's to indulge in self-pity. To let your heart be troubled is to indulge in self-pity with a woe is me banner over your life instead of the banner of love that the Lord says is over your life. So we have to work these muscles of no, the banner's love, not woe is me. The banner is I have all that I need for life and godliness, not you gave me the short end of the stick. It's, what'd you say?
The response.
Yes, the response of accusation. We want to, by faith, aggressively run into what the Lord says about our lives, how he feels, our future, what he says about others, their future, so that we are not swept away with the torrent of our own emotions. And as we do this as a way of life, over time, I believe, what happens to our emotions? Increase of peace. We've worked these muscles. We've walked this road of pressure. And we've seen that you have seen us through it. So in this new pressure, what's going to happen? We have confidence you're going to see us through it. So I have confidence and peace. I still have the ugh, but I have this ebb and flow of peace that passes all understanding. Why do you have peace? I don't know. That don't make no sense. Yeah, it passes understanding. If you look in the natural, it makes no sense. If you look with your sight, it doesn't make sense. I'll say it better grammar. Amen? Let's pray. If any of you is, you know, I mean, we all have our troubles, you know, but looking at this list of seven things, if any one of these is like, yeah, that's getting me, the death of a loved one, personal failure, bitterness of betrayal, crisis in the culture, persecution, national destruction, but the delay of God's promises, if any of those are like, yeah, this kind of, it's kind of getting me a little bit. Take it to the Lord. Like right now. So I invite you to close your eyes. And I'll lead us in a prayer. And I'll give you a little space to talk to the Lord yourself. About whatever one of those seven things is. We have a few minutes before we're done. That is trying to get its snare in you. Sarah's going to come play for us just a few moments. Talk to the Lord. Like, respond to Him. In the letting your heart not be troubled. If you've let your heart be troubled and you've actually taken some steps towards bitterness, steps towards disillusionment, just confess to Him. Repent to Him. And He is eager to forgive and give grace in the alignment. Father, we ask for those in this room that they know what they've been tempted to be troubled with. Maybe it's not just one thing, maybe it's all seven things. Lord, and we ask for grace to respond to You in this hour, to give You the very thing that You want. Faith in the uncertainty. Lord, we ask for grace to be careful to what we hear that brings unnecessary trouble to our emotions. Lord, teach us to run into these eight important truths. Lord, we run into your personhood, who You are, Your plans for us. Lord, we run into the fact of our eternal destiny. We run into the fact that we can abide with You and in the vine and have a profound, deep relationship with You right now. We run into the fact that You have given us the Spirit to help us, who's a very present help in time of trouble. We run into the truth of Your love for Jesus and Your love for us, that the banner over our lives is love. We run into the truth that You will provide supernaturally in the days ahead, supplying our needs. We run into the truth that You are the one who is eager to forgive those that stumble. If You're eager to forgive our neighbor who stumbles, You're eager to forgive us when we stumble. This is who You are. And we run into the truth of Your constant keeping record of our simple but sincere demonstrations of love. And You will talk to us about it one day. We love You. We honor You. We thank You for John 13 through 17. Continue to teach us how to let not our hearts be troubled. Amen.